Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a magical adventure through the landscape of this year's Hallmark Movie Channel's Countdown to Christmas. I'm your host, Mark Hahn, and with me today is...
Melissa Gerber.
Melissa, what are we reviewing and discussing today?
Today, we're going over Christmas at Castle Hart, starring Lacey Chabert.
Lacey Chabert. And like just a few moments ago, you told me... you were kind of meh about this, and I am here to say right at the top, this is my favorite movie so far.
I'm so happy for you.
Okay, good. And I watched it over like 3 or 4 days. I would like whenever I could fit it in. Do you have anything about our cast?
Well, of course, you assigned this one to me because Lacey Chabert is from Mean Girls. That's, I think, probably what she's most known for besides being a Hallmark star. And what I thought interesting is that there were a few moments in this film that were very similar moments to a few in Mean Girls that I noticed where she was just like definitely her same character there. I thought that
really
was pretty fun for me.
Why don't you talk about those now?
I didn't write them down, but one of them was like when they get caught in a lie and she's like, oh no. And that's just like kind of, there's a scene in Mean Girls where they try to cover something up about like saying Regina looks fat or something. And so she plays like the exact same character there. And then I think the other one, it's probably like a heartwarming moment. She's like, yeah, but it's a fake. I don't know. I don't remember the second. I should have written them down, but I really like her as an actress because of my affinity for Mean Girls. Really, that's it.
Are you suggesting she is somewhat one-dimensional as an actress?
I think so. But then Did you see in the commercials for this, she's got a 3-part movie coming out in the spring.
I did.
And she looks like a little bit different of a character. But yes, okay. I do think that she kind of plays one part. And she has like a little bit of a lisp, which identifies her as well as like kind of like she'll always be that one character for me.
Yeah. Now, to your point, I think she is a Hallmark star because she can play this part to me just effortlessly. I mean, she was very soft with in the right places.
Yes.
She was, however, knew what she was doing, knew what she wanted to get done. She was a pro in this catering business. And I don't know what it is. I just, through the whole movie, I'm like, she is effortlessly perfect for this part. This is Hallmark movie number 27 for her. That's the highest McKellar count we have seen.
What about, I'll be interested when we get to Candace Cameron Bure, because she's been climbing up that ladder too.
I am not so sure we will be covering Candace Cameron Bure due to her... affinity for certain viruses. She likes them, we'll say.
Oh. All right.
Let's move to Stuart Townsend. Do you know anything about Stuart Townsend, the male lead in this movie?
Nothing at all, except for both Charlie and I noted that he's not remarkably handsome. Like he's fine. And I guess he plays like a little bit more classic of a character, but we were not wowed by him.
Yeah. And I think that's why his career never quite took off. This guy is a famous actor. He was originally going to be the Aragorn character in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Are you at all familiar with the Lord of the Rings movies?
Zero.
Fair enough. Well, that role eventually went to Viggo Mortensen, but Stuart Townsend was on set training and filming for like 2 months. And then they finally just said, yeah, we need somebody older than you. And
oh, wow.
Got booted.
Well, this Christmas at Castle Hart's got to be the next best thing to Lord of the Rings.
Correct. I agree with you. And before we go any further, I really have to say how much I enjoyed Ally Hardiman
yes.
as Margot. Oh my God, this young woman is fantastic.
Yep, and she's great.
Has done very well. She's only, I looked at her IMDb page and she only had about 4 years worth of work, but she has written and starred in her own like show, like on stage, and just her entire She can do more with her facial expressions than I think I've seen anybody do.
Agreed. Agreed. Should we talk about the fact that they look absolutely nothing like sisters?
Yes, you're right.
I mean, like, I guess, you know, because of the family tie into the film, like, they had to make them sisters. But other than that, there's no reason for us to believe they're sisters.
Yeah, I remember kind of just doing a head twitch when they said that. And I was like, all right, well, it's Hallmark.
Some siblings don't look alike.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. That's true. So I don't know if you noticed this, and it would be easy to overlook, but the first named writer in this movie, and you probably know more about this than I do. There were two writers listed. This one was listed at the top, so maybe he was more involved. Was Paul Campbell, who was the male lead in the Santa Stakeout.
Oh, interesting. Sometimes when there's two writers, there's two things that could happen. They could have written it together. Charlie does that sometimes, where they toss things back and forth all the time.
Okay.
Or sometimes it means that he took the first pass, and then ultimately they didn't go with it. But because it was his idea, the second writer came in and finished it up. Charlie's also been involved in that.
Okay. So that's interesting kind of behind the scenes stuff there. I thought it was an interesting touch that this dude who's starred in like eight of these movies was like, all right, I'm going to write one for you. And to me, this was, like I said, to me, this is my favorite so far. It was a masterpiece, and I will fight anyone who says differently. Okay. Let's jump to Baywatch moments. What do you got? And I'm going to have, and we screwed this up last time because I didn't drive the bus correctly. I'm going to have We're going to go every other. Okay. Fair enough. You go first.
Okay, the first one I have is, well, they're putting the tree topper on the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, she goes, oh, I can't reach it, I'm so short, or something like that. My husband used to do it. And he says, no, but perhaps we can do it together. And it was like, so corny, so cheesy, but also like, she loved it. And it was a big moment.
Well, I think that's funny. I wrote that down for one of my double entendres. So I did enjoy that moment as well. The one that first came to mind here was when he says, and I think they're in the pub, or maybe later, he says, why do I feel like Scrooge? And she goes, but much better looking. And then she instantly is like, oh, I can't believe I said that.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember that.
Oh, gosh.
Another moment I liked, and I think I kind of just interpret Baywatch in my own definition here.
Sure.
But I just make it as like show-stopping lines, I think. Mm-hmm. One of them is when, because I did watch this one again twice too. I've been really committing to this craft.
You have.
Yes. And the second time I watched it, they're talking, Margot and Brooke are talking about their failed Christmas and everything, like right at the beginning. And Brooke says, is this it? And then Margot goes, well, there's more Kung Pao in the kitchen, but I'm saving that for breakfast. And I thought that was really funny because it shows like, it's so realistic of like, oh man, I can't wait to have that leftover chicken for breakfast, or like Chinese food for breakfast. Not because they're poor, we don't get that impression, but more because like, that's just what you do when you eat Chinese food kind of sadly. You're like, well, I might as well spread this out.
Yeah, we definitely don't get the impression they're poor. I remember writing down, it was one of my questions, like, look at the size of that apartment in New York City and how beautifully decorated it is. Yeah.
I know.
No, that was good. The other thing I have here is, I think it's when they're in the chapel and Aiden is talking with Brooke. And he says, I see what you have with your sister. I want that with mine.
Yes. I thought that was so funny and so unrelatable. Obviously, as somebody who doesn't have a sibling, but also my husband has a sibling and I just can't picture him ever saying that.
Yeah, it was. I liked that other storyline, but it felt like it took a while to get there and we didn't really understand why they were estranged until they were like resolving the whole problem.
Right.
What else you got?
Last one is, it's a combination of let's do it and let's do this. Cause they say it about three times and they make it seem like it's this big American saying. And it kind of ends up being like the catchphrase. They're doing it while they're making some sort of dessert. They're doing it. They're just saying it a lot. And they're like, oh, that's what we say in America. And I just thought it was like so unnecessary of a little line to add in.
It's like our version of, oh, cheers, mate. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, geez. I guess the last one I have is, and these two, but they happen around the same time. When the Duchess walks into the party, you kind of hear her say, beyond my expectations. And I was like, oh, great. They nailed it. And they didn't draw out whether or not she was going to like it. It's just like, boom, here. And right around that time is when we got a commercial. The movie was sponsored by Kerrygold Irish Butter.
Yes. I noticed that.
I was like, could you be more on the nose? Now, I've had that butter. It's very good, but I just thought it was great hilarious butter. That, like, yeah, we're going whole hog here. We're going to get an Irish movie, and our Irish butter is going to be the sponsor. Great stuff.
I know.
What do you have for heartwarming moments?
Oh, just one when I think it's Brooke. She says, I'm starting to remember what Christmas is supposed to feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very charming.
Wait, I think, wasn't that Aiden?
Or was it Aiden? I wish I would have written that down.
I think it was Aiden, but it was around the time of what you're talking about with putting the star on the tree.
Yes, you're right.
But that was a great scene. Yeah, like.
But the divorce with Brooke, I don't really get it. It's kind of uncomfortable that she keeps bringing it up.
I only remember it. At the beginning, when does she bring it up again? Is it
while
in that
doing
scene?
The tree, she's like, oh, for everything, for all my ex-husband's flaws, he loved Christmas or something. And maybe that's realistic. And maybe people feel that way, but
you don't,
like,
bring it up to somebody you're crushing on, right?
That's right.
Is it okay that I use that phrase, crushing on?
No, it's fine.
It's okay. Good. Thank you. You're much younger than me, so I will take your approval on that. When Brooke appears in that red dress, like in that scene, I mean look, it honestly took my breath away. It was, she just nails that. Thought it was great. And I think at around that time, that is when that guy Liam, who made the like metal tree,
yeah,
the crotchety old man, he dances with the Duchess. I was like, oh, that's really nice. So that, what else you nice. Have there?
No, really, that's it.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah, this was a light one for me.
Now, and I have one more, and it was at the very end of the movie. And like, I didn't see this coming at all. But when they find their family, and they're like all hugging and all this stuff, like, I literally teared up at this. I did. That's how
Which
good
part
this is.
Did you not see coming? The bartender being related.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh
no,
my God.
I didn't. I should have. I totally should have, because she does telegraph that like early on, right? Like she says, I'm an O'Reilly.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yes. So I should have seen it coming. You're right. But when she comes around the corner, I out loud said, get the out. Like really loudly in the house, and Kristen's yelling at me, what's wrong? But I thought that was great. You're right, I should have seen it coming, but I think because I saw
it, I
want
to take
segments
away all your happiness on this one, but
okay,
it was a heartwarming moment in general when they when they embrace their like long lost cousins. I will say I do have a similar story. I have cousins in Slovakia, and now they live in I don't remember where they live, but
here in the States somewhere
they still live in Slovakia.
Okay.
And well, is that still a country? Where do they live?
That's could nearby. Be the Czech Republic now. Okay. But I'm terrible about my European geography.
Me too. But whatever, they moved somewhere, but they found us via like one of these 23andMe DNA things, or not maybe not DNA, but more the genetic mapping.
Got it.
And when one of the cousins came to LA to visit, I did kind of like, I treated her really well. I mean, I sure. certainly didn't feel this like familial connection, but
right.
it was exciting, I guess, to meet somebody from the other side of the world that I guess has some lineage, but you know, sure. certainly not like the way that they did the fanfare. Cause it was kind of like, oh, you know, that long lost adopted uncle's kids that we might've told you about, but might not, cause we put them up for adoption.
Right.
I don't know.
But to me, it was cool because suddenly they had a father figure again in this uncle, like,
right.
Whether or not that was going to end up being his role in their lives, I don't know. But he was so like, oh, then I'm your uncle, you're my nieces. Right. And he was so excited about that. I liked that part of it.
That is nice. I will say too, just speaking about like, they talk about the dad dying, but they don't really talk about what happened to the mom or really emphasize that they have no other family. Because what I would have liked to see is like, well, of course we're going to stay here now in Ireland because we have nothing for us in New York. We have no family. Now we have this one new relationship and we might be able to make a family with these people. Mm-hmm. I think that tie was missing or that real like pull.
I totally agree. I wanted more there, especially as you noted, Brooke is now probably going to be dating Aiden. Margot is dating the Duchess's son, or
right.
he might have had his own title. Maybe he's a Duke. I don't know. But as you say, what's left for them in New York? They've bluffed their way into a catering right. business,
right?
Or at least an event planning business that the Duchess is going to rave about. So you're right. I would have liked more there. Did you have any double entendres?
Yes, I had one, and this has got to be one of the biggest ones of mm-hmm. of at least my Hallmark career. And right at the very end, they're Aiden and Brooke are reintroducing themselves, and Aiden says, "And if it's all right, I'd really like to see more of you." And he even says it in a way that's like, that is uncomfortable. Of like I was uncomfortable the way that he said it. Like it was very obvious what the double entendre there was very obvious.
I did not catch that. Now I want to go back and watch that part.
Oh, you have to.
That's fantastic.
Because it actually cranks, you know, spoiler, my Steamometer up a bunch.
Ooh, that's true. I haven't even rated my Steamometer yet. I'm going to have to do that on the fly. The only thing I had was at some point, if somebody says, you throw like an Earl. Because he's the Earl, and I was like, didn't hear that. Funny.
It must have been during the snowball fight when they go to the tree lighting, the world's smallest Christmas tree lighting.
Yeah, and that whole scene was a little bit awkward because, like, okay, there's like a few people just milling around, and then they show up, and then he's like, "Oh, your lordship, will you please come and say a few words?" Like, I'm sorry that I'm doing this like the Lucky Charms guy, but like, he was like, "Okay," and. I don't know. I thought he nailed it, but it was weird. That's all I had there for the double entendres.
Yep.
How about lessons learned?
Just one here, and it is that people are not defined by their mistakes. Aiden has to remind Brooke of that. It's something that he had taught her, or that she had taught him through the course of their relationship.
Yeah. I feel like that is maybe becoming a common theme in some of these. And I think the other one is that what I had here was, Jesus, just don't lie. Like, and they kind of, I was writing this down saying, I think they could have made this work without the name Paige Monahan.
Agreed.
Now later in the movie, Siobhan and Aiden are talking. And I think he says, would we really have hired her if it wasn't Paige Monahan? And I was like, well, they could have bluffed that. They could have just said, this is my name and I have worked right. for Paige Monahan and I know how to do this.
Right. I'm her second in command or something like
right.
that.
Right. For sure.
I agree. The stakes were not high enough in this overall. I think that, you know, she wanted to tell the truth so many times and at some point she could have come clean. And at this point the sunk cost was too large. Like they would have kept going.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just felt there was not enough tension to keep this going, especially like obstacle after obstacle of people knowing who Paige Monahan was.
Right. And they did kind of do a slow burn of that, like, hey, this thing is coming to bite you in the ass here shortly. Yeah, there was a point where she says something like, I'm not perfect. I'm like, come on, just spit it out. Ugh.
Yes, I know. And also, like, to your point, like, don't lie, because nothing else that she said was fake. So it wasn't like, I'm Paige Monahan, I have this great life, I'm so happy, all these things that when the truth was revealed, Aiden was like so upset. But over what? One name? It was literally her name. That's it. Like, everything else was the same. She wasn't being a fake person at all.
Right. And she says, like, look, all these feelings, all this stuff, all of that was real. And yeah, he does kind of get, he gets a little over the top upset about it and then gets over it. Like,
I was going to say the down was just as dramatic as the up.
Like, yeah. Siobhan kind of goes, ah, well, you know, we wouldn't have hired her. So I see why she did it. Point. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's over. Yeah. Let's hear your steamometer on this.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
The reason being is there's several kisses and there's several almost kisses,
mm-hmm.
and there's just tension throughout it. Like, you can tell Brooke wants to kiss Aiden, but she doesn't, because she's being very genuine and not lying to him. Like, that's another thing, is like, she could have like kissed him and started this whole relationship, which would have, you know, made this even worse for the lie, but instead she holds back. So
that's why. You think that's why she was holding back? She didn't want to like go further into this lie by starting this relationship under false pretenses.
Yes, which makes her really honorable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I hadn't considered that, but I think, yeah, that certainly gives credence to, she could have made this a lot worse and she chose not to.
Right.
It was 6. Yeah.
Which also ties back to your evaluation of her character, of Lacey Chabert's ongoing character in the beginning, just like a perfect little girl. Like, she's kind of perfect.
Yeah, there is something to this. And I think Lacey Chabert must be 37-ish or something like that. And somehow she pulls off like 28 years old, no problem. I don't know how she's doing this. I
think she could even be older, because Mean Girls was almost the same year as me of high school. So that saying is like, if it came out my senior year of high school, they were probably seniors as well ish and mm-hmm. I remember all of them are much older than high school, playing high school,
right?
So if I'm 34, 37 is generous. She's anywhere from 37 to 40, I'd say.
Okay, well, there you go. I gotta get her moisturizer or something. Somebody told me that I need to use retinol at night. Do you know what retinol is?
I do, but I can't use it because I'm pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well then, yeah, don't do that for a while.
Charlie uses it though.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes me feel good. He's got good skin. All right. So do you have questions for any of this movie? Okay.
Well, not questions as much as critiques.
Critiques, fair enough.
Okay, so one is, I'm just going to go a little bit more into the idea that like the stakes were not high enough with the family tie-in. You go all the way to Ireland to find your family and you spent very little time actually looking for them. I would have liked to see some sort of timeline ticking against them or something that would be like, if we don't plan this event, we'll never figure out who our family was. Instead, it was like kind of just like a fun thing at the end that because the event went so well, the Duchess was able to connect the family. I think that, again, there's just not enough like storyline tension. There was the love tension, of course, but those two plot lines did not go together very well for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. The tension was lacking because we all knew at a certain point she was going to have to come out with the truth. So you were just waiting on that and you knew it wasn't going to be until about 1:45. It seemed like the tension of getting this party together, every time there was an obstacle within a minute, he was like, oh, I know a guy who's going to like solve this. And we were like, oh, okay. So you're right. There weren't really stakes in that.
And did we see how he even like eventually, or not eventually, but right at the beginning, he fell for her very quickly. I didn't understand why. Like, they're at the bar, he's teasing her like, oh, are you looking for a leprechaun? Then all of a sudden he's like following her around.
Yeah. How that happened, I don't quite even remember. Weren't they just like on the street and they ran into each other or something?
Yeah, they were shopping around at some like holiday market and he started flirting with her. And I was like, you were just teasing her and giving her shit for being an American in this Irish bar.
Yeah, did she prove her like credentials or something at some point?
No, or not even really charm them or anything. Like they were just like, we're from New York, and they were really ditzy and like kind of almost like what I think would be like turning him off. And then next thing we know, he's in love with her.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tricky. do you remember the scene where they were making dessert? Aiden and Brooke.
Yes. Yes. Cause that's when, he said, let's do it. That's an American thing or something.
That kitchen looked to me like some kind of a modern American kitchen. Like I thought they were in a castle still. I'm sure a castle could have a very modern looking kitchen. It just looked out of place to me.
Well, that transitions very much into my other critique, last one, which is just the overall setting of this film. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Christmas trees were definitely CGI'd into this castle. They were not in Ireland, to put it frankly.
Okay.
It just, nothing felt realistic about a castle, a hotel, pretty much any of it.
So to that point, I wrote down the green screen stuff when they were like riding the horses or something at some point. I was like, none of this looks real.
Right.
My only thought is, was this a COVID problem? Like, I didn't know what was going on. But
I mean, it could be that COVID's a good thought. It's also obviously very expensive to go on location. However, this is their number one star. If anyone's getting a budget, it's her.
For sure. So I didn't notice. You're saying there were CGI trees inside the castle?
Oh, outside.
Outside the castle. I'll have to look a little bit harder on that. I think I wasn't like checking the background of the actors as well as I should have. Yes, the only other thing I said is, holy cow, misunderstandings, lies, and hidden feelings are the backbone of all Hallmark movies.
That's right.
But let's come up with something that people aren't willing to talk about, and then we'll make a movie around that.
That's right.
Let's go to your nogs. How many you got?
I didn't think about it. You go first.
I rated this 4 Nogs plus, if that's possible. I absolutely loved this movie. I would rewatch. I am not finding that like when I'm doing this, it feels a bit like work because I'm taking notes, and I would prefer to just be able to sit down and watch. And then once I'm done with a movie, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm moving on to the next thing. This one I would rewatch. I had a great time. 4 for me. How about you?
I'll give it a 3. I did like it. I agree with you. I've found that's why I'm starting to watch them twice. I'm taking less notes the first time, and then I'm going back the second time and then using that as my opportunity to take notes. And I agree. It was mindless and fun, and I wasn't mad at anything really. And I'll give it 3.
Very good. 3 Nogs. Okay. Now, I don't suspect that you have your spreadsheet up, do you? What's your next film?
Well, because I'm on my second rounds of 2 of them. So I'm doing Christmas CEO. Mm-hmm. Have you started that yet?
I'm going to shortly.
Okay, great. So I'm going to watch that for the second time. And then also Sister Swap.
Okay.
And I have some thoughts on Sister Swap, mostly on Kimberly Williams Paisley.
Do you have anything you can give us a little preview?
Well, I don't know. It's not very nice.
Oh, it's not nice.
I think that her face doesn't move when she talks. She looks amazing, but her face is not moving when she's speaking.
Is this too much Botox?
I think it might be, or not. Ooh. Maybe not Botox, but like facelift. I'm not sure.
Do you know, it took me until like the 5th viewing of that commercial to realize that those 2 actresses are actual sisters.
That doesn't surprise me.
The perfect response. That does not surprise me. All right. Well, everyone, we hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. Christmas at Castle Hart, I thought, was amazing. And so we will say, Melissa?
Mark? Sorry, I got distracted. Let's try it. Let's start over.
Okay,
start
here, over. We're going to do it again. Here we go. Melissa?
Mark?
To the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
All right, see everybody.
See ya.